Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Headlines today, Russian forces suffering heavy losses in Soledar. Today, Ukraine is saying 100 Russian soldiers were killed in a strike there. And there is a big struggle for control of that city. Let's go live to Ukraine now. And Joseph Lindsley. Hello, Joe. Why is it so important? What is it about Soledar?
Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. It is, well, it's important, I think, to Russia, because Russia has been unable to, in that region of Donbass, for the past, well, really, since the summertime, they were trying to conquer the city of Bakhmut. They've been unable to do it. They have destroyed much of that city. It's leveled much of it. And then 10 miles north of Bakhmut is Soledar. No one was even really talking about Soledar until about a week ago, and it seems the Russians just want some victory. They want to be able to say that they have taken another Ukrainian city, something they've not been able to do since late June. And so I think a lot of this is probably psychological. It's the Russian mercenary group, the Wagner group, sort of a semi-private military battalion of the Russian armed forces. They are known for their ruthlessness. This is their project, is to take this small town of Soledar. And the town does have very strategic salt mines that can be used for a lot of military purposes. We've had reports that the members of the Wagner group are wearing Ukrainian uniforms to confuse the Ukrainians, which obviously, I mean, all this whole entire war has been a war crime. But once again, we see, you know, no respect for any rules whatsoever. And it's it's intense. But I think this is where we see that Russia needs to have some victory. You know, it's hard to know exactly what's going on in the Kremlin. As always, there has been a reshuffle in the past couple days of the Russian leadership, sort of this military musical chairs. Recently as October, Putin appointed a new commander of the forces in Ukraine, and that guy's out. There's a new guy that's in this week. And even the leader of the Wagner group and then the leader of the Chechen fighters have publicly attacked other Russian generals. So we do see a lot of dissension. You never see that on the Ukrainian side. You don't see public attacks and criticisms of military strategy, but we see a lot of that in Russia. And as Ukrainian political scientist was writing in the local media here in Lviv, Tvoye Misto, he wrote today that it seems like Putin is deliberately provoking fights among his generals. And this the theory is this is what a paranoid leader does. You never know who to trust, and you want to keep everyone uncomfortable and keep them moving around. So that's all that is swirling around as we the tension is focused on Soledar. There's still intense fighting in Bakhmut. And meanwhile, throughout, you know, especially central and western Ukraine, we've now gone a full week, not only with no missile strikes, but with no air alarms. So it is a strange moment.
Yeah, that last general didn't last very long, and he was a feared figure. Any word on this new guy and his reputation?
The new guy, and there's two new guys, but they're not really new. They one of them, Valery, I won't say his name right, Gerasimov, is the new commander of the forces in Ukraine, and then Alexander Lapin is in charge of the general staff in Russia. But both of these guys had previously been at the top leadership positions. And so we just see that the Kremlin is always shuffling people around and making people who once were in charge become subordinate to their former subordinates. And so it's hard to know. And I think it's a lot of this is probably a distraction. But the Secretary General of NATO said yesterday, Look at what's happening in Soledar. Let's just get more weapons to Ukraine and stop this. You know, this can be done with the right fortification. And in fact, yesterday, President Zelensky was here in Lviv, even though there were no air alarms, there were lots of sirens, because not only was Zelensky here, he was at a meeting at the Ukrainian Catholic University, and then later in the day, he went to the Potocki Palace here to meet the president of Poland, Andrzej Duda, and the president of Lithuania, Gitanas Nausėda. So you had three leaders here in Lviv, which also is a sign of the strength of the air defense. So they, you know, you could have such a meeting. And both the president of Poland and the president of Lithuania promised additional support for Ukraine. And it's interestingly, proportionally, if you look at the countries that have given support as a percentage of gross domestic product, GDP, the top five countries are Estonia, Latvia, Poland, Lithuania, and Norway. United States is number nine. And it's these countries who are closer to the Russian threat. They really know that if they don't stop this in Ukraine, it's going to come for them. And it, interestingly, the Polish president, he actually, Bob, he was walking the streets of the central market square of Lviv last night. Throngs of people were greeting the Polish president, grateful that he was here, which also shows you, I mean, you know, in a wartime, I mean, I think it's, and for Americans, you know, it's hard for us to realize this, but because we have such security for the president. But there's such trust here in this society now that the president of Poland could walk the streets of Lviv and shake people's hands. And he promised one of the big requests for Ukraine has been tanks. They need high quality tanks. And the president of Poland promised Leopard tanks. They're German made tanks. But this is the interesting wrinkle here, that the tanks that Poland has, they're older tanks, and they're going to get them to Ukraine as soon as Poland gets new equipment, new tanks from the United States. And so the new equipment is not coming to Ukraine. And this is a big point of contention. The thinking of some is that if you were to send the new equipment, you might provoke Russia too much. And so this is really the big argument now. Ukrainians are saying just send, and some others are saying send the best equipment now. And so we can put an end to this and have a victory. But that's not how it's working at the moment.
So important that you bring us these stories every day, because with the news cycles, it's easy for us to forget what's going on there in Ukraine. And of course, here, and I guess in other countries too, the big talk is the Prince Harry book, Spare. And you have an interesting perspective on this, I know, Joseph, when it comes to writing a book and the pressure from the publisher to influence your content. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, we've talked, you know, you and I have talked about when I once worked for the chairman of Fox News, one of the most powerful people in the world, and I escaped. It's kind of like the mafia. You can't just walk away from that. I escaped in a dramatic car chase through the Hudson Valley. And I wanted to share the story of that. And I wrote a book called Fake News, True Story. And it was a big process to get an agent, but I had a lot of publishers and editors who were excited about it. And then every time we got close to, you know, closing the negotiations, some publishers in New York said, oh, this is a hilarious and an amazing and interesting book. But they wanted me to get nastier. They wanted me to spill more dirt on people. And that was exactly the thing I was escaping when I left Fox. I didn't like that. You know, that's not journalism to me. And that's not even good storytelling. And I actually wrote my book as a novel. But I think that was the best way to tell the truth. And so finally, I went through there was some kind of crowdfunding publisher deal in Berkeley, California. And I thought, okay, this could work. I can tell the truth the way I want. And as soon as I made an arrangement with them, it was the same story. They said, you got to get nasty. You got to spill the dirt on all these people, you know, all the famous personalities that you got to know. And I had, you know, I had limits on that, but you know, it's, you're caught up in this. You're meeting with these executives and they push you to do it. And so as I was reading these stories about Prince Harry's book, I can see that, you know, probably, and he had a ghostwriter. So probably there are a lot of things that if he'd really thought about it, maybe he didn't want to say, but the publishers, they're not thinking of literary merit. They're not thinking of truth. They're thinking of not even how to make a profit, how to make maximum profit. And so I think it's a problem as I've experienced with the book publishing world. And that's why my book is still not published, because I didn't want to say certain things.
And Prince Harry is more or less alone in trying to fend off some of these suggestions, I would imagine.
Yeah, for me, that was very important that I had people around me who said, come on, you know, you got to stay true to yourself. And that was one reason why I got out of my job in New York, because it was very isolating. Well, you can't have people to keep you grounded, sort of by design. And I have a lot of sympathy for what Prince Harry and the royal family and everyone is going through with this. At the same time, I think that he's, you know, he has shared, you know, his real emotions about things, which is very powerful. But unfortunately, it's that nastiness of the book publishing world that pushes. They don't care if they ruin families and or even ruin the, you know, a monarchy. And so, yeah, this is a difficult thing. Bob, that's why I love so much talking on your show. We can talk honestly and in a civilized way.
And we've mentioned it before, but I should remind folks again that the story of Roger Ailes and Fox News and Russell Crowe was tremendous as Roger Ailes in the Showtime series, The Loudest Voice. You can probably still find that. It was based on a book, and there is an actor who portrays our friend Joseph Lindsley. So it's not 100% accurate, but you get the gist of it if you watch that. Joseph, thanks for the report on Ukraine today and also your take on the publishing world. Interesting.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow. Tomorrow is old New Year's Eve in Ukraine. So we have a duplicate of every holiday here. So happy New Year's.
Hope we have something to celebrate. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob.